This time on Slaughterhouse Princess, the Banana Splits movie. Tra-la-la, terror.
Oh, I think I pulled something.
Welcome to Slaughterhouse Princess. I'm Chris.
And I'm Troy.
And there's no Hotlanta.
No. He tried to do the banana splits, and he did not make it to the episode.
Nope. It was too scary, he said.
Yeah. He's like, I can deal with... He, actually, you know what? He was upset when I said that there were no kids killed in this movie. And so he was like, no, I can't deal with that.
Yeah. He's a real murder dad, that one.
Yeah, he loves it when the children get killed.
And this was suggested by Mr. Green. Yeah.
It's been a while since we've done one of his movies, actually.
It has.
Yeah. It's always too long.
That's fair enough.
Yeah. So how does this movie start, Chris?
Well, it starts off with the banana splits.
Is John Amplis one of the banana splits?
Possibly.
Yeah, it's hard to tell. They're like big furry creatures.
So yeah.
He could have been inside one of them for all we know.
I'd like to think he's snorky.
Yeah. I still love that he just randomly showed up in that anthology movie we watched. And I was like, holy shit, that actually is John Amplis.
John Amplis is actually in a movie.
But yes, it starts with the banana splits.
Yeah, because they have to give you an idea of what the banana splits are, because odds are you weren't watching children's television in the late 60s.
Yeah, like, I mean... I am not the young. I am a middle-aged white man.
I hadn't noticed.
Shocking.
I'm on a podcast.
Podcast. Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, but no, that was way. That was like 10 years before I was born. This show was on. So apparently, they're actually a Hanna-Barbera property.
Yeah,
which blows my fucking mind.
Yeah, it's the equivalent of like an officially licensed Scooby-Doo porno. Like, what? That's so weird.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, I'm sure like most people our age, the cultural touchstone for this is the Rockefeller explosion. Like that's the closest we've come to the banana splits.
Yeah.
But it's like if the Rockefeller explosion had a live action show where it was people inside, like... costumes.
Yeah, if the Rockefeller explosion were people in costumes, also probably LSD is involved to some degree.
Oh, except for the first season of the Banana Splits was directed by Richard Donner, so of, you know, like Superman the movie fame somehow.
Yeah,
I mean, granted, he did that movie 10 years later, but still. Oof.
But these banana splits are those banana splits, but aren't the, it's,
I don't know, like the, so we have Snorky the elephant.
Yeah.
We have, is it Fleagle the beagle, the dog?
Fleagle, yeah.
There is like a Chester Cheeto type character.
I don't know which is Drooper, and I don't know which is Bingo, but they're the other
that's
ones.
Drooper. Drooper is Chester Cheetah, and then Bingo is the other one with the wide, like, cat face. Like, Drooper has, like, the elongated, like, you know, Chester Cheetah face, but then Bingo is the one that's got, like, a Russian, was it Siberian cat? I don't know, the ones that have the smushed faces?
Yeah.
Yeah, like that kind of face.
Yeah.
Snorky's an elephant. I don't know if we said that.
Obviously.
And then Fleagle is a dog, because he's Fleagle the Beagle.
And we meet up with family.
Oh, but don't forget
Steve.
Steve? Is that his name? Steve?
Steve. Yeah. Steve is the human one.
Yeah. Well, the physically human one.
Yeah.
But he's like basically like the well, he's like the butt of all their jokes, basically.
Yeah. And just, I can't imagine this plays to kids these days, but whatever.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe like a 4-year-old would like it.
But we meet up with family.
Yes.
And you got Linda Samilton.
Linda Shamilton.
Shamilton, the mom.
Yes. Because she is not quite Linda Hamilton. She's a bit of a sham. So she's Linda Shamilton.
We have a younger son.
Yes. Yeah, I don't know. He's just fucking like wide-eyed wonder kid.
Loves the banana splits. Fucking loves the banana splits.
Yes. Like they are his favorite thing ever.
Yeah. You have older brother who's a real potheed. Oh, I'm sorry, pothead.
Yes. He's got like the dirtbag mustache too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then there's asshole stepdad.
Yeah, well, stepdad to the older one, but not the younger one. I think that's his.
Oh, I think that's right. Yeah, so they're half brothers.
Yeah, I think is what's going on.
And he's played by the guy in Schitt's Creek who like keeps trying to like have sex with everyone all at the same time. I don't know if you've watched Schitt's Creek, Chris.
Some of it.
He's the okay. Do you remember like the? Well, he was dating Stevie and David at the same time.
No, that is him.
Yes, that's him.
Huh.
Yeah. Which, if and listeners, if you've not watched Schitt's Creek, watch it. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Like, and it's exactly what like it's exactly what the world needs right now, because it's just it's fun. It makes fun of shitty people, but not of good people. And the shitty characters grow into good characters. And it also gives us The Crows Have Ives 3, The Crowening.
That's what the world needs.
Yes. Definitely. So, yeah. Yeah. If listeners, if you've not watched Schitt's Creek, go watch Schitt's Creek. It's on Netflix in the U.S. at least. And it's made in Canada, so I'm assuming, I think they're probably just broadcasted on Canada Public Television or something. I don't know.
Yeah, on WCAN, Canada's number one station.
Yeah, it's probably either on right before or right after Letterkenny, which if you haven't been watching Letterkenny, you should watch that as well.
Yeah.
So, all the good comedy comes out of Canada now because they probably just make fun of us because we suck these days. Although maybe things are going to get better. We can only hope.
Eh.
Help us, Obi-Wan. Biden, you're our only hope.
So, anyway, it's youngest birthday.
It's his birthday!
And they're going to go see a taping of the Banana Splits.
Yes. And he also gets a Banana Splits wand. That is basically like one of those umbrellas where you push the button and the umbrella part shoots out of the handle.
Oh, that is definitely an umbrella missing the top part.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. And my dog is going to start barking soon. And I don't know why, but she's a pain in my ass these days.
She wants to be included. That's all.
Yes. I mean, she contributes more than Brett does. So.
Yeah. It's almost like Hotland is here. It's going to be noise that doesn't really mean anything.
Yeah, god damn, I keep forgetting to call him Hotland. I'm so terrible about that. So, I don't know. But she has feelings, and she needs to express them.
That's fair.
Yes.
They invited his friend. They've forgotten.
Oh, yeah. They invited one of his friends, but his friend is sick, and apparently it's coming out of both ends.
Yeah. So they, his mom calls up one of his other friends' moms.
Zoe?
Yeah.
Is the girl?
Yeah. And Zoe's like, man, I don't want to go watch that baby show for kids or whatever.
And her mom is like, I've already said you're going, so you're going to go and try to enjoy yourself because you're going. So that's the way it is.
Yeah.
The subtext being, go help the poor, sad white child.
Yeah. And,
because apparently that's what the female children of color need to do these days, is to keep the white male children entertained. So, and Leia also agrees.
And we also learned that there are tensions between stepdad and eldest, because of course there are.
Yes. Well, because eldest goes to swipe $20 out of the stepdad's cash roll that he keeps in his side table and gets almost caught. And as stepdad comes out of the shower, like in a towel, and he's like, hey dude, like, you know, if you need anything, you can just ask, like, well, can I have $20? And you're funny. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
So they established stepdad as an asshole early on.
Yeah. So they head to the Lego studio. World.
Which, so they, I've never been to a studio. I mean, maybe Mr. Green can. I know he's worked security at studios before, so maybe he can. I don't know how realistic that studio setup was. I'm assuming it was partially realistic just because they were probably shooting at a studio.
Yeah.
But maybe Mr. Green can give us some insight into that later.
And we meet up with some folks there who are all in line. We meet up with
the stoner couple who are going live on Facebook or Instagram to talk about how awesome it is that they're in line to see a fucking Banana Splits show.
Yeah.
And they're like in their 20s.
There has to be some level of detached irony to that, I suppose.
I guess, but like they were playing that as if these people were actually super excited to go see the Banana Splits.
There's stage dad.
Yes, and daughter who it looks very reluctant to be there.
Yeah.
But he is definitely very much into her becoming famous.
And the two, I guess they're PAs.
Oh, there's one's a Paige.
Yeah.
And her name is Paige.
Yeah. They make me say that.
Yes. And then there's other PA.
Glasses.
Yeah. And they make everyone give up their phones. And I'm live on Instagram. Guy was rather annoyed by having to give up his phone because he's like, I just told my followers I was going to go live from the show. And they're like, well, that's too bad. You can tell all 218 of your followers that you, which is still more than I have on Instagram, which is perfectly fine because I am not a hash brown influencer. So. But yeah, like she's like, you can tell them that they'll have to wait till after the show and takes his phone. But, his girlfriend still sneaks her phone in instead.
Well, you say sneaks, but she just doesn't give it to him. It's not.
Yeah. Well, she has like tucked up her sleeve.
Also, yeah, I like the fact that they were just putting their phones into unmarked bags with no real, like. It's not like they were numbered or something. Your bag is 1C.
Yeah. No, I think it's in this bag. You can tell by the shape of the phone. Like, but all phones are rectangular. I said you can tell by the shape of the phone.
And I was like, kudos, movie. You needed a reason for people not to have cell phones because this movie is a checklist of tropes.
Yeah.
So they head in. They watch. They're watching the.
Well, no, they don't get to it. Then it cuts to the Banana Splits walking down a hallway.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no. The Banana Splits almost run over young fan kid because he wanders like they're driving like a fucking golf cart or something to the studio, and he wanders out in front of them, and they stop like a half inch from hitting the like plowing the kid over, which I kind of wish they would have, because kids are in movies are annoying a lot of the time.
Yeah,
but at least this kid was pretty earnest in his love for them, so it was a little less annoying. But they almost run him down, but they don't. And then they send the banana splits inside, but give them to, I don't know, like Hephaestus or whatever his name is, and have him reprogram them, because apparently Drooper's reflexes have slowed down again. And you find out that they're actually all just animatronic robots. They're just robots in fuzzy suits, basically.
Yeah. Which, I mean, that seems like a pretty big investment to have animatronic AI-driven robots for a kid's show when you could just put some asshole in a costume for what I would assume to be a lot less.
Well, but the amount of alcohol you would have to provide the actors in those costumes after about 2 years would probably outweigh the cost of robotics at this point. Because, woof. Like, I don't know if I could do that. Not a job I could do.
So
they go to reprogram Drooper, and then there's a program failure, and the green letters turn into red letters and say ominously the show must go on.
Yeah, that's how you know they're evil now.
Because the green program the green program letters turn into red program letters.
Thank God he programmed in that feature to change the font color when evil was detected. That's what I said. That's some good foresight.
Don't you do that in all your IT work, Chris?
Yeah, that's the first thing I do is I set the evil setting.
Yeah, the first thing I do is when I create a spreadsheet, I click in the upper left-hand corner and then go to data, conditional formatting, if evil, change font to red.
Yeah, it's just common sense.
Yeah, I mean, otherwise, you're going to have a host of problems later.
And as everybody's getting geared up for the show, producer lady for the show.
Yes.
Gets stopped like by.
Producer lady / stage manager?
Yeah. Well, they spend all their money on robots, so you gotta pull double duty sometimes.
I mean, yeah, I mean, the robot's taking all the jobs. It's fine.
And she stopped by douchey network man.
Yes.
And he's like, yeah, I'm in control of programming now, and this is some lame shit, which I'm like, okay, fair enough.
But we're canceling it, and this is the last show, which I guarantee you he cannot contractually do.
Yeah, somebody is going to have to go to court over that shit.
I mean, he could say, this is your last season, or we're not going to renew your contract is probably the best he could say.
Yeah.
But for the sake of horror movie, this is the last fucking episode. I'm shutting it down.
Yeah, we're going to take this all down. $200 million worth of robots, and we're going to shove them in a fucking closet somewhere.
Yes. I mean, the cost of mothballs is cheaper than the cost of operating them.
And she's all like, no. And he's like, yep. Yeah.
Yeah. Basically, that is the description of the conversation they have.
And so then we cut back to the Banana Split show where they're doing Banana Splits things.
Tra la la, la 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 la, la 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 la.
Yeah. And,
No, really, that's their theme song.
Yeah. It's catchy, oddly yes. enough.
Well, because it's just tra-la-la.
La-la-la-la.
La-la-la-la-la-la-la.
And let's see. So they do the thing.
They throw pies at children who are running through an obstacle course.
Yeah.
And like, they have to grab the blue key to escape the obstacle course.
Yeah, it's all quite confusing.
Yeah.
And
Steve apparently does not like to do his job anymore, and he is He just sits like, so he does is like, I roll in for the intro and say hi because I'm the Steve. And then he goes back to his dressing room / janitor's closet.
Yeah.
Because it literally says dressing room janitor on the door.
Yep. And he's just getting drunk.
Yep. He's just like, she's like, are you drunk? He's like, no, I'm buzzed. But if, by the time I finish this glass, I'm going to be drunk.
Yeah. And
she's like, well, you're on the next skit. And he's like, that's fine. I'll be there drunk.
Yeah. And Eldest is there because he's sweet on Paige.
Yeah, he tries when she takes his phone, he's like, do you mind, you know, you can put your number in there if you want to. And she just kind of looks at him and he's like, yeah, that was a pretty lame line. Sorry. I just like thought I needed to at least try something because you're kind of hot.
Yeah, I mean, you got to shoot your shot.
Yeah, and she kind of looks at him like, yeah, you know, you're not so bad yourself, but yeah, that line was really lame. And Zoe's kind of like, dude, she's into you. And he's like, what?
What?
He's like, I just embarrassed the shit out of myself. And she's like, but women don't care about that.
So they're grooving out. They're having a good time.
One of the banana splits with the guitar hit. Steve is dancing on top of an amp. Like, I don't know, like he's like a 60s go-go girl. And one of the, I think it's Drooper with the guitar, whacks him in the back of the legs and knocks him off the amp. And of course, Ernest, young child actor character, is just like, what happened? Like, did Drooper just knock him off? Like, oh, I'm sure it was just part of the skit, hon. It was just done for humor. He's like, I don't know. He looked like he might have been hurt.
Yeah. But Mom reassures him that it's all good.
Oh, but also we missed the part where Drooper like breaks into obnoxious television exec's office and kills him off screen.
Yeah.
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 You can tell because he drops his cigar butt. Because he's like a fucking like 25-year-old guy chomping on a stogie like he's J. Jonah Jameson. And he gets apparently myrtillated or myrtilly erdlered and drops his fucking chomping cigar on the ground.
Like you do.
Yeah. Oh, we also forgot to mention that at the beginning of the show, Paige the Page announced that if you have a star on the back of your ticket, you get to meet the Banana Splits after the show.
Yeah. And you'll never guess who has stars.
Stoner couple.
Uh-huh.
Stage dad and reluctant daughter.
Yeah.
But you know who didn't have stars?
Family.
Like, biggest fan ever.
Yeah. And
but
eldest brother's got his back though.
Yeah, because elder brother is not a total shitbag. He just appears to be one.
Yeah. He just likes some recreational marijuana.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. But then, obnoxious stepdad, the whole time though, I was like, oh man, I need to like, you can't take my phone. I need to contact work. And like, I'm going to go check on Dirtbag Son because I'm sure he's doing something wrong instead of just taking a shit like he said he was going to do.
Yeah.
So he wanders off and they both missed most of the Banana Split show, but pretty sure they're not upset about that.
It's fair.
Yeah.
So the show's over. And they tell everybody to leave.
Except for the ones with the stars.
Yeah. So Glasses takes everybody who didn't win.
Yeah. But Paige the Page, who was talked to by older brother, says, hey, little buddy, where do you think you're going? We can't let the Banana Split's biggest fan not meet them on his birthday. And then like the mom looks at the older brother and is like, dude, I raised you well. Yeah.
Yeah. And dad,
stepdad's like, fuck, I got to get back to my phone. 'Cause work. Ah,
Yeah.
And he's like, but Zoe here needs to get back to her mother. And she's like, no, I don't.
Yeah. I was like, good on you, Zoe. Zoe's the best child actor in this movie.
Yeah, I mean, she's not quite the younger sister from Stranger Things, but she's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I forget that character's name.
As do I.
Yeah. But, you know, the sassy younger sister.
Yeah. So they take him off to meet the banana splits, which, I mean, you're going to meet robots. It's not.
Yeah, but do they know that they're robots?
Maybe not.
I mean, I think like the stoner couple do because they're kind of like banana split, like legit fanatics. Like, I think they could probably tell you what year, what costume was changed in what way.
Probably.
Like, kind of people. But yeah, like I think the kids kind of like, I think probably would just assume that they were like real people inside the costumes.
I'm not even convinced that the youngest is aware that they're people in costumes.
I mean, he's not that young, Chris.
Well, I mean, like, he certainly acts like he thinks they're real.
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyway, so they meet up with the splits for a photo op.
Yep. And stoner couple get their shot with the banana splits, or at least two of the banana splits. One of them being Drooper and the other one being Bingo?
Sure.
I think. And the girl is like, you know, has like Drooper's like arm draped around her. And then she's like, oh, he's kind of wet. And like, he's got something dripping down his nose. And then her boyfriend's kind of like, hey, you got something on your face. I think it's strawberry jelly from the pies they were throwing. And then he like wipes off her face and licks it. And he's like, that's not strawberry.
Yeah.
It's blood.
It tastes very coppery.
Yeah.
And disinterested stepdad has wandered off to get his phone.
Yeah.
He's confronted by Linda Shambleton.
Yes.
And turns out he was partaking in cinematic trope 169 Alpha. Which is, he wanted his phone because he's having an extramarital affair.
Yeah, he was sexting with his assistant.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, it's just like a one-time thing. She's like, there's hundreds of pictures in this message thread, dude. You cannot tell me this was a one-time thing.
Yeah. Yeah, good. He tried.
Yeah.
Poorly.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he was caught, like, double red-handed.
And Eldest is out there now, too, and they're all hollering back and forth.
Were they hoot hollering?
No, nobody was paid hoot hollering money in this movie.
Ah, true.
So, meanwhile, they've left two small children unattended in a mostly abandoned
studio.
So they wander the fuck off, because of course they do.
Yeah. They end up in Flegel's magic shop?
Well, first the Instagram couple does.
Oh, okay, yes.
And
unsurprisingly, when he asks, like, hey, do your parents follow you on Instagram? And she's like, yeah. He's like, okay, good. You're like, I was like, oh, I know what's going to happen later. He is going to propose to her. And guess what happens in Flegel's magic shop?
He breaks up with her?
No, he proposes to her.
Oh, right. That's what happened.
Yeah, because trope.
Yeah. And it's all beautiful, I guess, or whatever.
She's very excited.
Yeah, she's very happy, as are their followers.
Yeah, all 218 of them.
But then somebody appears in the doorway.
Hey, it's Flegel!
Yeah, and Flegel wants to show him a magic trick.
Yeah, where you saw the asshole in half.
Yeah. And, you know, credit where credit's due, when this movie goes for it, it fucking goes for it.
Yeah.
Because when they cut this dude in half, at first, it's like they put him in the old saw the guy in half box.
Yeah.
And he jabs him with the saw blade, and you're like, oh, okay, he's going to be like, ow, ow, it hurts, and he dies. But then they open up the box, and all of his insides fall out.
Yeah, his insides become his outsides.
Yeah. And it's pretty gross.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like, it looks like intestines.
Yeah.
It's like they probably went to, like, the butcher, and like the local butcher or fucking, I don't know, like, meat packing plant, and said, hey, we need the insides of a pig. Can you get those to us? And they said, yeah, sure. Give me $300. I said, okay, here's $300.
Here's $300. Here's a bunch of guts.
Yep. I mean, I don't know what, I'm assuming like the insides of pigs don't cost that much.
Yeah, I don't know what the current conversion rate is on pig guts.
Yeah.
Seven.
I mean, I know you can sell like beef kidneys and like cow hearts and things like that, but you don't really see like pig kidneys or pig hearts running around as like you know, like cow tongue. You can totally buy cow tongue somewhere, or cow cheek, but not so much pig for some reason.
Assorted guts, $2.99 a pound.
But from what I know from Mythbusters, pigs are the closest like animal to us for human analog experiments.
That's true. So, he's cut in half. His fiance not doing well, obviously.
No, she kind of cries a little bit.
It's weird.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
I'm good.
I mean, like my wife cried when I proposed to her, but I think that might have just been fear.
That's fair.
Yeah.
The kids show up to the magic set. But Flegel,
like, why are you crying?
Yeah, and Flegel's like, hey guys, let's go this way.
Away from the crying lady.
Yeah. And as all this is going on, Stage Dad and his daughter are looking for the producer because this is her big break.
Yeah.
Which, okay, I guess it is.
Like, you'd think, like, an agent would be the best way to do that, but I don't know.
And, they find the producer lady, and they, proceed to have a musical number. Incredibly brief, thankfully.
Yeah, well, because the girl starts performing, Humps by Fergie.
Yeah.
And the lady's like, first of all, ew.
Yeah.
Second of all, dated. Like, come back when you have newer, less sexual material.
Yeah, maybe not the song about lady lumps with your prepubescent daughter next time. Probably a good opener.
Yeah.
Is not that.
Yeah, yo, know, because you know that's what every 12-year-old girl should be performing.
Yeah. Not cool, Stage Dad. Not cool.
No.
And then she kind of blurts out that the whole thing's done. They're all shit canned. Right as Paige shows up.
Yeah. And they're like, what?
And Stage Dad's like, what the heck? The network guy's here. I should find him.
Yes.
So they run off in search of network guy. They go to the green room, which is where we saw network guy last.
Yes.
Cigar still burning because it's one of them cigars that burns for 17 hours.
Yeah. You know, it's like those coals in your fireplace that just, you know, they take forever to go out.
Yeah.
Like you're kind of like, well, should I like put them out or can I just go to bed and leave them going? Like, I mean, they're not that hot, right? Like, they're not going to like burn down my house.
And the thing's designed to be on fire. It's fine.
It's a fireplace, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, just don't close the flue, because then you get carbon monoxide buildup, and the carbon monoxide alarms go off in your house, and then you have to take your wife and your dog out to like the car sitting in your driveway because it's cold and rainy, and then you have to call the fire department from your car that you're sitting in while it's cold and rainy, and they come and they test your like furnace and all that for carbon monoxide, CO. And it turns out, oh yeah, if you close the flue on your fireplace while there's still coals of some kind in your fire, you're going to produce carbon monoxide and potentially kill your family.
That seems incredibly specific.
I'm just saying, it could happen to anyone.
Yeah, it's a hypothetical. I mean, it's very relatable, it seems. Yeah. But the
fire department people are also very excited to find out that you actually have a wood-burning fireplace and not a gas fireplace. And also, if you have, in the hearth, you have two, like, railroad ties that are turned into, like, I don't know what those things are called. The metal things in your fireplace that, like, put the wood on top of.
Yeah.
Yeah. They think those are cool as well.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Hypothetically
speaking.
So, Stage Dad meets up with who he thinks is head of the network, but it turns out it's really Banana Split's Dr. character. Claw. No.
Oh,
no.
I'm sorry. It's Trooper.
Yeah.
Because he's, like, talking to the back of a chair. So, like, he turns around, you just expect to be Dr. Claw.
And he gets him with the old aerosol can cigar flamethrower. Not how that would work, but okay.
Yeah, And melts his face some.
Yeah. Sets him on fire.
Doesn't char his face.
No.
Just melts it some.
Yeah, melts it a little bit.
Yeah.
Like people work.
Not wax work?
No, like that's how they operate.
Oh. Do you think wax, like a planet of wax people, would have a people work museum?
I'd like to. I like to think that instead of like a big vat of molten wax, this is a big vat of molten people.
Yeah. I mean, you have to escape from the planet of the wax men.
Weird deep cut, but...
Jermaine Jackson should have done that song instead.
So does that mean that there's a hypothetical ant museum?
Yes. Where they have... people, wax people, ants?
But yeah, they have ant people made entirely of ants.
Yeah, not wax, just ants.
Oh, this is dumb.
Yep. And it's only for us because I don't think anyone else probably knows what the fuck we're talking about.
That's the best thing to do in the middle of a podcast.
Yep. Run, run, run.
So anyway,
just bark at your Alexis and tell her to play you Escape from the Planet of the Ant-Man by Jermaine Jackson. You'll probably be sorry.
Yeah, but you'll at least know it.
Yeah, at least know what the fuck I'm referencing.
And you'll be like, that was totally worth it.
Yep. That was my favorite song off that Jermaine Jackson tape my parents got me for my birthday.
One of them had to be, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, you have to have a favorite. It might as well be Escape from the Planet of the Ant-Man.
Agreed.
I mean, I got that in Thriller by Michael Jackson. So guess which tape I played a whole lot more.
Jermaine Jackson, obviously.
Yeah, no. I mean, Vincent Price, it's hard to beat.
True. Wait, movie. That's the thing we should be doing.
Oh, yeah. We were doing a podcast.
So guys on fire.
Yep.
He
stumbles into a room somewhere. Well, the banana splits take out Stevie by jabbing a full size, like one of those like round, like fucking like lollipop, gilled lollipops, like down his throat.
Yeah. Which, you know, physics dictates works just like that.
Yeah, somehow his mouth is like, you know, the size of a baseball. But like they get something the size of a dinner plate down through it with zero tearing.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
At this point, everybody's kind of rendezvousing back at the studio. The set, yeah.
Yeah.
And Paige, eldest, Linda Shambleton, producer lady, and stage dad are all there.
Well, no, not stage dad.
Well, yeah, because they tell...
Well, he's like...
He stumbles in.
He collapses into a room with his melted face. And he's like, ah, they did this to me. Ah.
Well, yeah, but at some point, producer lady tells Paige to call the 911.
Yeah.
And Paige runs off.
To the production office, finds out the phone lines have been cut.
The cell phones are mushed. Like yeah. You do.
Oh, and asshole stepdad got attacked by one of the banana splits outside.
Yeah.
After it was revealed that he was cheating on Linda Shambleton.
He got hit by a car.
Yeah. And the little girl gets grabbed.
Yes, stage girl.
Yeah, stage girl gets grabbed when stage dad gets burnt.
Yeah.
And they take her off somewhere, unrevealed so far.
Yeah. And who has Zoe and youngest? Is it?
Well, they're kind of running around.
No, because the Flegel. Flegel is taking them to meet Snorky.
Yeah.
So he says.
Yeah.
But he's really taking them to the holding cell in the robot lair.
Yeah, the robot lab, the animatronic lab.
Where they get locked up with Stage Girl and Robot Dad. You know, the father of the robots.
Yeah, yeah, Dr. Robotstein.
Yeah. He's all like, something went wrong with my thing, but the show must go on. So now they're going to murder anybody who tries to stop the show from going on.
I believe you mean murderly erdler anybody.
Yeah. Of course I do.
I mean, Hotlanta might listen to this episode, so I have to make sure I keep you on the straight and narrow.
That's fair. And they convince him to let him out because reasons.
They trick him into like coming into the cage.
Because
they're doing just fine, and then they come out of the cage and lock him in.
Yeah. And then they run off.
Yeah. Well, and Stage Girl gets captured again at some point, but Zoe and Ernest Youngchild are wandering around and they meet Snorky.
Yeah.
Snorky is kind of like vaguely menacing, and but then the Ernest Youngchild does the Snorky shuffle to the Banana Splits theme song, and Snorky does it along with him, and apparently that was all the bonding they needed to do.
Well, nobody put his switch to evil, see.
Oh, okay. He still had the green font.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And, meanwhile, Eldest and Linda Shambleton are looking for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Bingo
attacks them?
Yeah.
I think that was his name, oh.
Bingo, yuck. Bingo bungees down from the rafters and swipes Eldest, which causes Linda Shambleton to go into murder mode, and you can tell because she...
Murderly Erdler mode.
Because she took her sweater off.
Yeah, she takes her hoodie off, and she's got like the Linda Hamilton wife or tank top on underneath.
Yeah,
you know, like the Terminator 2 outfit, and you're like, yeah, shit just got real.
And she runs up and throws Bingo off of the catwalk.
Yeah.
And saves Eldest.
Because he was way too sexy for it.
Yeah. On the catwalk?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
He did a little turn, that's for certain.
Ugh.
Chris is like, I don't like any of this.
Nope. This is all distasteful to me.
But yeah, so Bingo takes a header off the catwalk.
And,
yeah. Catwalk, yeah.
Yeah. Great. So the kids have all been taken off by Snorky.
Yeah. The rest of the kids, though, like, so they do stumble across, someone stumbles across, I think it's Paige and Linda Shamilton and older brother, stumble across a hallway with, all the people who were going to be, who were supposed to leave, but like Glasses has a pair of drumsticks shoved through his glasses and eye holes. And it's all the parents and adults of that were there. And, but all the children, it turned out, have all been like handcuffed to the bleachers in the stage to watch a performance of the Banana Splits.
Well, we skipped a big chunk.
Probably.
So.
But fuck it, because this movie makes almost no sense half the time.
So before that, stage dad and producer lady get accosted by Flegel and forced to run the obstacle course.
Right.
Culminating in.
But the blue key isn't there.
Yeah, that's because whichever fucking one of them has the blue key, and he unlocks stage dad's spinal column.
Yeah. Spinal column unlocked.
And,
worst achievement ever.
And they smash producer lady's eye out of her head.
Yeah, that was a smasher. They fuck her hand up too.
Yeah.
Like, and then they crush it with their robot grip.
And then they bash her with a croquet mallet in the head.
Mm-hmm. And her eye pops out.
And then Paige.
She's in the ball pit.
Yeah. And then it, somehow Paige ends up in the ball pit trying to hide from one of the Banana Splits. And that's when she meets up with Eldest and Linda Shamilton. Then they go to the robot room where they meet up with Dr. Robot Man locked in the cage. They hear the music from the secret second stage underground.
Right.
And that's where they find Glasses and company all dead.
Okay.
Because they're having the secret underground Banana Splits taping.
Well, because the show must go on, and we have this room full of radiators that we've, like, handcuffed children to.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta do something with all them radiators. And so the Banana Splits, or what's left of them, because one of them is out of commission now.
Yeah. Well, there's just two of them, because one, Snorky, is still not, it still has a green font.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And, the
Drooper and Flegel.
Fiance lady was with them.
Yeah.
And she puts on the owl outfit and murders Dr. Robot Man.
Yeah, because there was like the super secret like Banana Split character that was going to be introduced but hadn't been yet, which was some owl character. So she puts on the owl costume and goes like, you know, full Batman on Dr. Robot Stein.
Yeah. So team those guys head down to try to stop everybody or try to save Paige, the kids.
Yeah. Paige, older brother, and Linda Shamilton are trying to like pry kids' handcuffs off of radiators with a giant wrench, and it's not working too well.
Yeah, it's almost like none of that makes sense.
Yeah. And then Drooper and Flegel, but Flegel's like left hand has gotten pulled off, like the fur, so it's just like the robot left hand.
Yeah, and he's got like a bad case of T-800i.
Yeah, and I thought you were going to say loving you, but I guess not.
No.
And they bring out the Wheel of Morality.
Yeah.
And attached to the Wheel of Morality is Network Executive. And apparently the end of every episode of the Banana Splits, they spin this wheel to find out how it's going to end. And it always ends with rocking out. Only this time it ends with Banana Splits.
Yeah.
Which and is they're all like, what does that mean? Because it's never happened before.
It means robot draw and quarter a guy.
Yeah. And then they fling his armless and legless torso to the ground for him to bleed out.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I was okay with that, though. He was kind of an asshole.
Yeah. But and Snorky brought Zoe and the other ones down, but then left them the keys so they could escape.
Yeah, they were captured, but then Snorky slips them the keys as he goes to join the other remaining Banana Splits, and they use the distractions to unlock themselves.
Yeah, and then all the kids get out. Paige and Eldest take the kids off while Linda Shamilton stays behind to fight the robots.
As Hamilton would.
It's not going well. She does fuck one of them up okay, I guess, but then the second one gets a hold of her. She gets choked a whole lot.
Yeah.
I was like, man, that's they're choking that lady a whole lot. Somebody has very specific interests.
I mean, was Danzig involved with this movie?
No, there was not nearly enough poor French.
Oh, okay. I'm just saying, you know, like, maybe it was just in his Pornhub search and he made it into a movie. That seems to be his thing.
Yeah, but there wasn't a 10-minute unbroken pointless scene of air quotes eroticism.
Of a woman just bathing in Karo syrup.
Yeah. And Eldest shows up and they beat up the robots. And then they go to leave because the kid shows up with his umbrella wand, and that's how they fuck up the other one.
Yeah, they like shoot it through his robot brain pan.
Yeah, and I was like, Jesus Christ, why would you give a kid something like that? That strength that thing has?
You'll shoot your eye out, kid.
If you're lucky, that thing would have gone all the way through his goddamn skull.
It goes through his chest and his heart's just sticking out the back, sticking out the end of it on the backside.
Yeah, it would have been real bad.
I mean, you could probably kill an angel with that.
You could. It's actually very similar to the thing he has in the third one.
Yeah.
So they're making their escape when they're caught by the last Banana Split. And he blocks he blocks their path, but then Snorky shows up and they have a fucking kaiju fight.
Yeah. It really is. It's basically a kaiju fight.
Yeah, it's like old Godzilla two dudes in suits just like doing their best to have a fucking choreographed fight, but it's two dudes in big mascot costumes. What do you fucking want from them?
I mean, it's like Robert Smith versus Mecha Barbra Streisand.
Yeah. Although I really do enjoy the fact that Storky is trying to choke the robot with his trunk. I don't know why, but that was fucking hilarious to me. I'm like, it's a fucking robot, you dipshit robot. You're a robot.
doesn't one like literally like put its hand into the other one's chest, pulls out its beating like fake heart?
Yeah, yeah. Complete with audio of heartbeat, which is just the fucking stupidest thing, and I was so on board with this whole scene.
It's like the best scene of the movie.
Yeah, because it's so stupid. But in the best possible way.
Boom, boom. Boom, boom.
Yeah, you got beating robot hearts. You got robots trying to choke each other, which just doesn't make any sense. And then Snorky basically gives him the Terminator 2 at the end, where he sinks into the lava and gives him a thumbs up. That's basically the end of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's metaphorical, but yes.
Yeah, that's the vibe it's trying to give you. And then they escape. The cops are called. Don't have as many questions as you would think they would. You think that would be a major point?
Yeah. Shitty husband slash stepdad shows up again.
Yeah.
With his broken ass leg hobbling around.
Yeah, and he's all like, "Hey, I got hit by this car, and it made me realize that I don't want to bang my fucking assistant anymore. You're the one for me."
Yeah, Lyndall Shamilton's like, you can just take your leg and break it off and shove it up your ass. Thank you very much.
Yep, she gives him the classic punch in the face, "I want a divorce." So by now, somebody's got to have a movie trope bingo.
Yeah. I hope so.
Yeah. And, everybody leaves. We get to see shitty stepdad hobbling behind the ambulance saying, "Hey, wait, I'm all fucked up." He gets hit by the banana splits mobile because it turns out
he gets not even get hit. He gets run the fuck over.
Yeah, it turns out he's actually just several garbage bags of blood with a head.
Yeah.
And it's fiance lady, and now she's the owl person with a bunch of busted up robots
in the back of her golf cart.
It seems like the cops did a very poor job of sweeping the area.
And then like one of the eyes lights up, is that right?
Yeah, because there's definitely going to be a sequel to this movie. I'm sure it did amazing at theaters.
Not sure. It got screened at Comic-Con. I don't know if it made it into the theaters.
I mean, it's definitely some weird sequel bait shit. I don't get it, but
no. But yeah, that's the end of the movie.
Yeah.
So what did you think of the movie, Chris?
It is a movie. It's pretty slow on the start. I don't know why, because as soon as you start watching this, you're like, "Oh, okay. So this was definitely written by an AI program where they just fed it some variables and it spit out a plot for them."
Written by Markov Chain.
Yeah. I mean, nobody has a character. They're not characters. They're just archetypes. The whole point of this is that they accidentally got a hold of the banana splits license, panicked, didn't know what to do, made the robot write a plot about murder.
About robots murdering people. Someone check on that. Murderly hurdling people. Someone check on that robot. If it's not calling itself Skynet yet, it may soon.
I mean, it's goofy. It has its moments. I'm not going to say there weren't parts of it where I wasn't like, "Okay, I'm on board with this." The kaiju fight at the end is just the best. It's so ridiculous. It is middle of the road. It's competent enough. I think this is definitely the kind of movie you'd throw on if you got a couple of folks over. You got a couple of adult beverages. You go, you're just bullshitting around, goofing on it, laughing at it. You could do a lot worse. You could do a lot better. I don't know if I would recommend it per se. Unless you have an affinity for the banana splits, then sure. I mean, be a completionist. But if you happen to find it in your travels and there's nothing better to do because you're in a hotel out of town, yeah, there's worse things you could do for 90 minutes. What do you think, Troy?
Exactly 90 minutes long.
Yeah, the robot, the AI demanded it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like extraordinarily okay. Like, if there was anything that was just like five stars, it is this movie. Like, it is just even. It's average in about every way. There's nothing offensive about it, really. There's a couple, like, there's like one or two good gore scenes. There's the kaiju battle. You kind of like the fact that the older brother is not a shitbag. Like, that was probably the most surprising part of the movie to me. That, you know, like, it wasn't like he was a shitbag and then got redeemed. It was like he actually had a heart of gold to begin with. You know, shit's getting real when Linda Shambleton goes down to the tank top. It takes 30 minutes to get to an off-screen death. Until then, it's just a movie. Apparently, it gives me the hiccups. Yeah, I don't know. It's overwhelmingly average. Like, it does kind of feel like it was generated by algorithm. But, yeah, I'm not sure how this movie got... the banana splits got turned into this movie. I'm not sure why. It did make me go watch a bunch of Rock of Fire explosion videos on YouTube afterwards because, god damn it, did I have a hankering for animatronic music, I guess.
My favorite genre.
Yeah. I mean, Guitar Zan, done by Fats and Mitzi and Billy Bob. I mean, it was good. Fats for President of the World.
Fair.
Yeah. Also, I think someone did Time to Pretend by MGMT or Management for them, which was interesting. But yeah, I'd rather watch those videos than this movie again. Probably. Like, it's just... it's exceedingly average. It's just overwhelmingly average. It's not boring, which, you know, Veronica last episode, extremely boring. This was not boring. It was just like, oh, yeah, yeah, okay, yeah. Oh, that's a little bit of gore. That's kind of nice. Okay, yeah, that tracks. Okay, yep, you paint the twos blue, you paint the threes green. Yeah, I don't know. I can't recommend it, but I can't say, like, never watch it either. I guess if you put on your Shudder app and, like, it just starts auto-playing, watch it. I mean, whatever. Like Chris said, there's worse things you can do with 90 minutes of your life. There's better things you could do with 90 minutes of your life, but there's a lot worse, too. Those are my feelings, as disjointed as they are.
It matches the theme of this episode, which is disjointed.
Yeah. So, but speaking of episodes, what are we watching next episode, Chris?
Something called Bad Dreams.
And who suggested it?
Hotlanta.
So it's probably going to be bad.
It's probably going to be bad.
Yeah.
And, I mean, yeah.
That's his track record. I mean, I think he's maybe had one good one.
Yeah. At least when I recommend a bad movie, I let everybody know this is bad.
Yeah.
It's going to be bad and we're going to feel bad because we watched it.
Bad dreams are made of these.
So what if other people want to recommend movies that are hopefully not as bad as something Hotlanta would pick?
Well, they could email us at slaughterhouseprincesspodcast@gmail.com. They could reach out to us on Facebook, where we're Slaughter Princess, Slaughterhouse Princess on Facebook. They could go to our subreddit at r/SHP podcast. They could tweet at us on Twitter, where we're Slaughter Prince, which is Slaughter Princess with no vowels in princess. They could talk to us on our Discord server at discord.slaughterhouseprincess.com. That's where you can get the invite to the server, where we've been having some fun discussions and playing a lot of gacha games. So that's fun. I'm sure Christian was rolling all through this episode. But yeah, other than that, places you can hear us are Stitcher, Spotify, Amazon Music via your Echo. I'm sure you can say, hey, Google, play Slaughterhouse Princess Podcast, and it would do that. iHeartRadio, Google Music, Apple Podcasts, or whatever the fuck it's called now. I mean, they keep changing that, so I can never keep up. Other than that, if you want to support us monetarily more and as well as emotionally, you can go to patreon.slaughterhouseprincess.com, where you can pledge to our Patreon. And we have a special Patreon channel on our Discord where we have had some fun discussions as well with some noted podcast listeners. I don't know if they want to be noted on air, so I will not note them at this time. They can at me later about that if they want to be noted. But also, you could go to our store at store.starsprincess.com and buy merch with our logo on it, as designed by Chris's daughter. If you want to hear music by Chris's daughter, you can search for Virtual Bird on things like SoundCloud and Spotify and Amazon Music.
Mm-hmm. So come back next time for Bad Dreams, whatever that is.
Yes, and thank you to all of our patrons.
Thank you, patrons.
We appreciate your support. And while their podcasts think about movies, we'll drink about movies.
Bye.
Wasn't Centipede Holocaust.